Hi everyone, thanks for joining. We're just going to give it 1 minute before we start, just to give everyone some time to log in. All right, I'll get started. Welcome everyone to the Amatic Wiley Day session on open online resources for teaching quantitative concepts in nursing with our guest speakers, Daniel Ozimek and Lindsay Good. My name is Anna Pham and I'm the marketing coordinator at Wiley for the math and science disciplines. And before I turn things over, I just wanna remind everyone that you are all muted, but please use the chat for any comments and Q&A box for any questions that you'll have. I'll be monitoring both just to make sure all your questions are answered. And a quick introduction, Daniel Ozimek has been a mathematics faculty member at Pennsylvania College of Health Sciences for 7 years. He is also a mathematics education PhD candidate at Penn State University studying nursing students' conceptions of dimensional analysis as a method for calculating medication dosage. Daniel is also co-chair of a multidisciplinary task force and national initiative from the Charles A. Dana Center, Mathematical Association of America, and Quality Safety Education for Nurses, which is working to reform math education for nurses. Lindsay Good is a mathematics instructor at Pennsylvania College of Health Sciences. After graduating from Penn State University with a degree in mathematical science and a minor in both secondary education and actuarial science, Lindsay secured a teaching where she taught in both the middle school and high school settings. While teaching, Lindsay obtained a master's in mathematics education from Millersville University. After 10 years in secondary education, Lindsay made the switch to higher education and began teaching at Pennsylvania College in 2009, where she teaches courses in clinical mathematics, college algebra, introduction to statistics, and digital foundations. Now over to you and Lindsay and Daniel.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Anna. So welcome, everybody. Happy to be presenting this with Lindsay and certainly some help from other of our colleagues as well. We want to start by just listing out some objectives. And so we're going to hopefully set the scene here a little bit to give you a foundation and provide background on the motivation and what we have been doing in partnership with some of our nursing colleagues and with a national initiative as well. And then once we set that scene, we're going to share some open resources that we've created and put together, specifically those that we can use to create new tasks and engaging tasks for our students. So we teach a variety of math classes to students in the health sciences and nursing. And so what we want to share is how we can use these resources to create some pretty engaging tasks rather than just basic story problems that we might see. And so to kind of set the background here, the work that we've been doing is consistent and in line with a national initiative, as Anna said in that introduction, that Lindsay and I are both a part of. And it's a task force and national initiative sponsored by the Charles A. Dana Center, the University of Texas, the Mathematical Association of America, and QSIN, Quality Safety Education for Nurses. And the task force held a convening at the University of Miami in October 2019. And we brought together a whole list of representatives from these organizations. And it was a great conversation. We were trying to build a forward-looking consensus on improving math education, statistics education, just quantitative education in general for nursing. And what came of this and was a set of recommendations from these representatives. It was kind of the consensus of the convening. We sent that out to our communities. If you're part of the task force, you may have received an email looking at the draft recommendations. And now we're in the final stages of preparing the final publication, which will hopefully be out within a month or two. We're putting the final touches on it and exciting to share those to the with the community. And so one of the recommendations that we do want to share that our work today speaks to is this idea of integrating learning experiences throughout the curriculum that provide learners an opportunity to develop sound quantitative reasoning, data reasoning, and clinical judgment. And so the tasks that we want to share with you today and the tools that we want to share with you today, we're going to always kind of fall back on this idea of linking together quantitative reasoning and clinical judgment. So these actions of reasoning with what you're given, but then also connecting that to practice. And the tools that we're going to be sharing with you today are designed to do just that, to connect that mathematics, that quantitative reasoning, and that clinical judgment. And so from the convening and also from just the work of the task force, we've learned that kind of math educators, statistics educators, and nurse educators actually do have a little bit more of a shared language than we had thought previously. So when you compare, you know, Paulia's mathematical problem solving strategy to Tanner's clinical judgment model, you can see the similarities where we want to be able to notice the information that's given to us, interpret the relevant information, make a plan, enact that plan, respond appropriately, and then reflect. And so again, the items that we're going to be sharing with you today incorporate these actions. It's going beyond just a rote calculation, but bringing in tools, artifacts, and items so students build those connections to the calculation to practice. And really it speaks to both mathematical problem solving, quantitative reasoning, and clinical judgment. The last item we want to share, again, specific to the tasks, Lindsay and I actually shared this framework last year at AMATIC in Milwaukee. And what we learned from partnering with our nursing colleagues is that when we're creating tasks for our students, you know, we're coming at it from a mathematics perspective, right? We're math educators. And what we tried to do as much as possible is fall to the right of this spectrum, be as contextual as possible and get students to be in those clinical situations as much as possible, but we're not nurse educators. So by partnering with our nurse faculty members, our colleagues, we were able to almost add a step here where we were able to add artifacts and tools, but tie in some of those actions of noticing, interpreting, responding, and reflecting. And so after we have been collaborating, we've learned that we have this middle ground where we can incorporate nursing artifacts and tools that we're going to be sharing with you today that really move towards this very contextual learning environment. So getting students to kind of practice the psychomotor skills, if you will, and the clinical reasoning and clinical judgment, along with that quantitative component. And so I'm going to turn it over to Lindsay.
All right. So from here, we're going to take a look at some of these open online resources that we've worked together to develop. We have the website dosagemath.com. So on this website, there are graphics, there are animations, there are adjustable dosage tools, applets, Desmos activities. So a lot of different tools and artifacts that can be used to help with that clinical judgment piece, to help with giving the context to the questions in the nursing field. So we also have found this wiki doc is very helpful in looking for medication labels, for graphics, for looking at safe dosage range. So a lot of information that would be helpful to have in the problem itself to help the students just to make those connections between the math and the nursing. So we're not just focusing on the math concepts, but they're bringing in the judgment piece as well. So you see a couple of those artifacts there on the bottom left, the IV pump, you see a syringe cart. Those are all on that dosagemath.com website. On the right of your screen, you see some information about Desmos. So we'll highlight Desmos a little bit later in the presentation. This is something that we have found is just allows us to pull together all of these tools and make a scenario-based activity for students to really focus on that judgment. So we're gonna take a look at some different, one more slide before I go in there. So here's what that Dosage Math website looks like. So just a couple of screenshots there. So you can see there's lots and lots of tools. We've been working on creating ways to share this information. And so Dan has created this website, which houses everything and great resource that we can just pull IV bags or pull the tubing that we can pull into the questions. All right, so let's get into some different examples, some different activities here. The first one is an oral dosage question. So on the left-hand side, you see the typical question. It's kind of, say that boring black and white question, right? It gives the information the student has to calculate how many tablets to give for one dose. But on the right-hand side, we're kind of outlining the skills that students would need, the quantitative concepts and skills, and then also their nursing skills. So within a question like this, you know, we can focus just on the math, we could focus just on the nursing, but we want to focus on both of those. So when we look at the quantitative concepts and skills, students have to be able to construct and reason with ratios. They have to work with conversions in the metric system. They have to work with measurement. So these are the different quantitative concepts that would be pulled into a question like this. So as we look at these different examples, really think about, maybe you teach a course where you're teaching nurses specifically. Maybe you don't, though. Maybe you have a quantitative reasoning skills where you're hitting a couple of different pathways. And if that's the case, you can focus on the concepts that we're teaching mathematically and pull these types of questions in the course there. And then the nursing concepts and skills are listed as well. So we're going to calculate a dose based on the order, identify medication strength, and then prepare the dose. So we can take that question and we can transform that question using some of these different open online resources. So here's the same question, just asked a little bit differently. And we're working on incorporating that problem solving methods and also looking at those nursing concepts as well. So we have an order. The nurse opens the medication cart and examines the available strengths of the medication. So instead of just telling the student, this is what you have available, that's not what they would find in practice. They would need to pull that med. So here are those strengths that are available. We're asking them first, what do you notice about the order and available medications? So if we take a look at each one of those, you know, they're all tablets. We can notice that. We can notice one's 400 milligrams per tablet, we have 600, we have 800. So there's differences between those labels. Part B, which medications should the nurse use for the order and why? So based on what's ordered, and their order's in grams, all of these strengths are given in milligrams. So the metric system comes into play there. So based on that order, which one should they choose? Right, so we're taking this question a little bit further, where the students then have to really think about what is given in the question and what information they need to be able to solve it. And then once they solve the question based on the order, they want to calculate how much to give the patient for one dose, and then prepare the dose using the tools available. So they're giving tablets, right? And so if we're giving tablets, we're going to not use the syringe cart, but we're gonna use the dosage cup for tablets. So if we link to that dosagemath.com website, they can then determine that they're gonna give one tablet based on the order, right? And they can fill that cup and give that amount. They can also give the strength there that was 600 milligrams per tablet. So this is just one of the tools that's on that website that students can then pull that in. You could ask students to take a screenshot of their answer and include that in with their solution. As an instructor, you can use it from your side to, you know, give the question to students of, here's the number of tablets, is this the correct dose? So there's lots of ways that you can use that information. So that's just one example. Let's take a look at another example here. So we can take a look at some injection calculations. So here we have an order, again, black and white on the left-hand side, pretty straightforward. We have the order, we have what's available, what do we give to the patient? But in giving the question that way, we don't really have the student think about, you know, is this dose appropriate? Can I measure this amount? What do I measure it with? How am I giving this to the patient? So when I look at the skills there, quantitatively, we're looking at constructing and reasoning with ratios again. We're looking at that dosage conversion, conversions within the metric system, and again, measurement. How do we read a syringe? That's a good skill that students need to have. So our nursing concepts, we're calculating the dose based on the order. We're identifying and selecting the appropriate medication based on the volume that's ordered. And then the route of administration, and then also preparing the dose. So So if I take that question and transform it, here's what that question could look like. So here we have our prescription, 30 milligrams every 12 hours. First dose is due at 6 a.m. First question I'm asking here is which vial could be used to supply the ordered dose, right? So we're giving 30 milligrams. And when we give that to the patient, this is an injection. So we're gonna give this in milliliters. So they have to think about how many milligrams, right? What's the amount of the medication that we need to give, but then also giving that in milliliters. So looking at the vials, they really have to think about, well, how much do I need from that vial? How many milligrams do I need? If I look at question two, then after administering the dose, what time's the next one? So it takes them into looking at that timing of every 12 hours. And then once they've calculated that, we're gonna use the QR code or the URL to select the appropriate tool to administer. So this will take them to a syringe cart. And based on that order, they can click on the syringe. They can fill the syringe to the amount that's needed. Again, student can take a screenshot, include that with their solution. They can note their medication strength, their amount to administer right there with the syringe. So it's a great tool to just connect all of those pieces. It really helps the students then when they get their answer to just know it's not just the number of milliliters. They need to give this to the patient and they need to measure this amount. So focuses on filling the syringe, knowing the calibration of the syringe and bringing in that measurement piece as well. And as you see these tools, you might be thinking of different ways, you know, in the nursing context that you could use these tools, but maybe in other ways as well. So hopefully your wheels are spinning as we go through some examples here. If I take that question and kind of look at another spin on that, right? Again, we have an order for, in this case, 20 milligrams every 12 hours. What volume will supply the correct dose? So now we're taking a look at two different forms of the medication, right? And they need to know, well, I'm giving an injection, so I wouldn't give an oral medication. So they have to take that reasoning piece into play here. And again, once they measure the amount, then we can use the QR code or use the link to then go to the syringe cart to measure it out. So just another spin on that same type of question there.
Okay, so those are a look at some, you know, oral dosage calculations, injections. We can also utilize some of the resources on that Dosage Math site. There are a few applets that I wanna show you to look at some IV pump calculations. And so we're given a very pretty generic problem of a 500 ml bag of normal saline. We're given the time and, you know, students often just get into these patterns of, I put the volume over the time and that's it. And we don't really reason about, well, is that the right set of units? Are we looking for milliliters per hour? Are we looking for liters per hour, milliliters per minute? We get into these habits where we kind of break away from those. And so some of the tools that we have available can get students to take a step back, think about what's given to them, make the correct calculation, and then connect that to practice. And so we're now gonna take a look at some rates and how students can utilize the information given to them to make sense of that problem. And so on Dosage Math, there are IV bag pictures where, you know, it seems like a pretty basic thing, but honestly, it gets students to just stop to think about what it is that they're given, right? It's I can't tell you how many times I've had an IV pump problem where students want to fill a syringe. And I ask them, you have an IV bag. Are you really going to go fill a syringe with an IV bag? And so some of those items, just showing them where that information is coming from, can be really important. And so here we're taking that problem. Students have to notice the volume that's given to them. They have to notice the time that's given to them. So they have to calculate that. And then instead of saying calculate the ml per hour rate, we're actually giving them a picture, or they have to go quote unquote set the IV pump. And so using the QR code, using the URL that's provided, students can go here to the IV pump and type in exactly what they were doing, right? So they have to know the VTBI is the volume to be infused. The time, they have to think about what that time was. I don't have it off the top of my head, but I'm just gonna put in some numbers. And then instead of saying what's the ml per hour rate, they have to recognize that's what the IV pump is looking for. So they're cued to identify that instead of just me saying calculate the ml per hour rate. So maybe it's 125. So from the student's perspective now, they can take a screenshot of this, send this to their, you know, attach it to their work, add it to a discussion board. It's an applet that they can control, right? So they go in and they quote unquote set this IV pump. So it's connecting that calculation to where they might and actually be administering this medication, in this case, this infusion, where they'd be doing that in practice. Thinking about this applet a little bit more, that's from the student perspective where they're going in and typing in the work, taking a screenshot and sharing it. I can't tell you how many times I've used this applet just from an instructor's perspective of creating right here on this page, three different problems, right? So because it is available for you to put in numerical values, I've taken, you know, that IV pump applet, taken a screenshot, and now I have three distinct problems. Where in the first one, the student has to recognize they're given the flow rate of 15 mLs per hour. The volume is 250 mLs. And I want to know, what's that last component? So they have to reason with the information given to them. They have to notice the information that's given to them, make sense of it, and calculate those missing components. So it's just building a little bit deeper understanding between the relationships here, between your volume, your time, and your rate. In the middle, the IV pump there, you can see just very quickly, I put in a volume, I put in a time. They have to recognize that they're looking for the rate. So how do I use these two components that I'm given to calculate the ml per hour rate? And then finally, if we're given an ml per hour rate and the time, they're looking for the volume that's going to be infused over that time. So just with a matter of typing in some numerical values, taking a screenshot, I have three distinct problems where instead of just writing it as a story problem using only words, I give this and it gets students just to look at the information, reason, and notice what's given to them. It's a little bit of getting them to think as opposed to just jumping right to a formulaic approach to solving these problems. So this is one way that you could use these applets. Now for manual and gravity IV rate calculations, we see a pretty standard, you know, story problem here. We have 100 mLs of fluid, it's infusing over 3 hours. And for those who may not be familiar, in these situations, we're given a drop factor of 15 drops per ml. And all that's saying is that the tubing that we're using is breaking every ml into 15 drops. And so in these situations, it's gravity that's pushing the medication and the fluid into the patient, and nurses need to identify the drop per minute rate. And so it's a very good application for, you know, outside of nursing as well, but just in a quantitative reasoning course, it's a really good opportunity to get students to, you know, build connections between measurement and rates and conversions between time and volume. And then from the nursing component, I think what we have found where if we just give them a story problem, oftentimes they just jump right to an answer. They might calculate 500 drops per minute and think that that's the answer. They lose track that, wait a second, I have to go over and count drops per minute. I have to see those drops per minute falling in the drip chamber. So how can we as educators get students to think about or get students to recognize, does that value really make sense? And so what we've been able to do with some of these open resources that are on Dosage Math, I'm giving students the IV bag, I'm giving them the picture of the tubing instead of just telling them what the drop factor is. I'm giving them the picture. They have to calculate the drip per minute rate just as they would. But now what I'm asking them to do is to go to this applet from Dosage Math, and they themselves are going to have to set that. So let's suppose we calculated 30 drops per minute is what this patient needs. Well, now let's set that. So when I hit begin, this is an tool that if you click and drag, or if you're on a device with a touchscreen, you should be able just to swipe up. And as you increase the roller clamp, you see that the IV here is running a little bit faster. And so rather than just getting 30 drops per minute, what does that actually look like, right? Because they're gonna be the ones that have to set that in the drip chamber. And so using this applet here, the numerical values tell us a different position, numerical on that roller clamp there, that ball. So I've used this as a discussion board opportunity where I give them an order to complete and ask them, well, what's that gonna look like? What's that going to be set as, and to use the numerical value on the roller clamp to discuss what they got, right? So again, it's connecting that calculation to, and you know, the actual drip chamber of where they're going to see that rate being occurring in practice. Now, one other opportunity for an IV rate calculation is, again, we're giving them an IV bag. We're giving them the drop factor. The tubing size here is 15 drops per ml. And you can see this is just bringing an additional nursing skill, which is member checking. You know, your colleague has prepared this IV. Here's the order that they were given. Is this running at the appropriate rate? And so clearly, hopefully it's working. Yes, I see it now. The animation here is a drip chamber. These are animations that are on dosage math at a variety of different speeds that you can put into a problem to ask students whether or not, first of all, what rate is this falling at? And is this aligned with what it is, what your patient has been ordered? So these pictures, these graphics, and these animations, that applet, all of these tools are available for you to create a variety of different problems, either to get students to go there and engage with them with the IV pump or the drip chamber applet. Or if you're creating tasks, you can bring those in as well. You can bring in these images, these animations as well. So I think we're going to turn a little bit different here to show how we can also utilize tools in Desmos. So I'm going to turn it over to Lindsay again.
All right. So if we take those same tools, we can use Desmos, which again is an open online resource. If you've used Desmos before, it's amazing. I'll just say that. There's so many different aspects to it. We especially like the builder, the activity builder that we can use to create these activities and pull in all different kinds of graphics, pull in some of those animations. And so it kind of houses everything for us. So it's a robust online scientific and graphing calculator. It's free for students and for faculty, but it has launched that activity builder that allows instructors to create interactive activities or use another instructor's activities. So we're going to highlight some of the different activities that we've created in Desmos in a minute here. Some features that we really think are important to use from Desmos is that it incorporates student feedback and responses, images, graphs, virtual tools, manipulatives within the product itself. So we can see what the students are thinking. We can see their reasoning. We can see the steps that they're using to solve the problem. Students can even use a calculator and we can see the buttons that they've pushed on the calculator to get their answer. So it's much more than just a place for them to enter their answer and move on. They're really interacting with all aspects of it. And as a teacher, as an instructor, we see all of that from the other side. Desmos can be used for synchronous or asynchronous learning. So I've used it both ways over the last year. And I find there's great, great benefits both ways. So using it live with students and you can see where they are in the activity. You can see that everybody's piling up on slide 5. There's something going on there. Something's going on that we need to take care of. Or, you know, when they do it asynchronously, I can see kind of their reasoning throughout the problem. So instructors can control the pace of the activity and view student responses as they go through the activity. And so at this point, we're going to take you through, calling this a showcase of problems. So this would be kind of a highlight of some different types of questions that we've used throughout the last maybe 2 years or so as we've used Desmos in our courses. So this would not be an activity I would just hand to the students and have them do. This is more of a showcase to show you the different types. So this would include lots of different types of questions. Here is, yeah, thank you. So there are fill in the blank questions, filling a syringe or a medicine cup. We'll look at some of those. There's a feature in Desmos called card sorting. And so that's behind a couple of these different questions here. Certainly multiple choice questions can be used. An ordered list is really good to get at their reasoning. Select all that apply, free response, and sketching also works really well. So if we take a look at some of these questions here, here's a question where we're asking students to group all equal amounts. So focusing on the metric system, looking at a card sort activity here where students can then look at which of these values would all actually be the same measurements, right? So they can drag each of the correct answers to each of the colored tiles and then match up those answers in that way. As an instructor, you can set right and wrong answers so you would know from your end if students have completed it correctly. The next type of question, we're asking students to order these values from least to greatest. Again, getting at that measurement piece, what does 5 micrograms look like in comparison to 5 milligrams, right? So they're looking at putting those in order. There's also the option, as you're creating the question, to have the students give an explanation as to why they ordered them the way they did. So it's good to be able to see the students' reasoning as they go through the problem. So again, we're not getting just an answer. It's making them go through quite a process. In this question, we're asking the students to choose all the descriptions that are equivalent to 80 milligrams per ml. This is a great question that really makes them get to think about milligrams, milliliters, liters, grams, and converting all of those together here. So here's a dosage calculation question. So here's where we can pull in some of those labels from that wiki doc. So here's an ampicillin question. We have the order, we have what's available, and we want to know how many capsules. Again, students can type their answer in there. They can also use the math type that's involved in Desmos. And so they can type units, they can type the dimensional analysis kind of as they go. So they're no longer, it's really easy to write their answers, what I'm trying to say, within the program. Here's a question, and this is a card sorting, kind of a hidden behind the scenes here, where they will prepare the medication, and then they're going to actually, or they're calculating the medication, and then they're going to prepare it. So you can have them drag the number of tablets to the cup, and again, from behind the scenes, you would know if that is correct or not. Right. So if we take a look at this question, again, this is another oral dose. Here we have the image on the left-hand side. So you have what's available to the student. Again, not just telling them the strength of the medication, but they need to look for that and notice that from the bottle itself. And then given the order and available medication, use the space below to calculate the amount of medication to prepare for the order and then show your work. So again, getting away from just typing in the answer, but they show their work as well. And then they can drag and click those tablets and put those into the cup. So another form of that same type of question using that dragging feature here. So lots of different ways we can ask questions. Hopefully this just kind of gets you thinking about what types of questions you could use here. Here's an oral dose. Again, we have our order, we have what's available, and then they're calculating how much to give. Once they determine how much to give, then they're going to shade that amount on the medication cup. So they can determine they're going to give 10 milliliters. They can shade that in. And again, from the instructor side, you would see everybody's answers. You can see them all on one screen to kind of compare at the same time. So you can see what they've prepared there. Again, when they get their answer, it's more than just, you know, did I get an answer that's in milliliters, but does it make sense? So if they got an answer of 100 milliliters, you know, they're just off by one decimal place, right? But it makes a big difference when you're giving a dose, but they would know that their answer is wrong when they go to look at that cup. So that's another form of just testing their answer and trying that out from that problem solving step. Here we have an order for 6 grams per day by mouth, given in three divided doses. We want the student to fill the cup with the amount to administer. So here's another type of question that can be used. So in looking at this one, they're dragging to fill this medicine cup. So they could shade it, they could drag this one. Again, just another way we can bring in that measurement piece to the question. Right. So now we have an injection. Again, we have what's ordered, we have what's available. We want the student to show their work, give their work there. And then again, they're gonna measure that out. So anytime that we can get the students to actually measure the dose, and they're really thinking about how am I giving this medication to the patient? They're gonna use that dragging tool there. And behind the scenes, this is really just a graph with a syringe overlaid on that graph. If you go to the dosagemath.com website, you'll see the graphs for different size syringes. So there's are there on the website. So if we switch to some milliliter per hour, so some IVs here, you have a picture of the IV, you have the IV bag. Again, getting away from just telling the student, you know, what is available to them. giving them the actual objects where they need to notice that information from there. And then they're taking a look at, well, what, how would I set the pump? What would I type in to the pump here? So they would need their rate, the volume to be infused, and the time. We could also include some of those gravity flow IV questions. So again, if I'm thinking gravity flow IV, we want them to think about the drip chamber. So giving them a picture of the drip chamber, a picture of the tubing, so they're thinking about how they're actually giving this to the patient. So we want to bring in those artifacts as much as possible. So it's not just in a silo completing the math behind the question, but really thinking about the big picture. So here we're calculating a drop per minute rate. Again, I have the order there, what's available to the nurse, and then finding that volume to be infused. And so think about as they're typing in their answer there, they can type that in using the math type. So it's easy for them to type it in. It's easy for them to show that work. And you can see from your side exactly what they're thinking, how they're calculating that answer. Right. So here's one with an animation. This is a great question because you can start the timer and you can count those drops in the drip chamber. So if we want to know, you know, how many drops are going to fall in 60 seconds, we can take the information from the timer. The timer is going to go for 15 seconds. And then they can take that and multiply it by four. They can use that ratios and rates there to calculate how many drops per minute. And then they can adjust the roller clamp. So when using this problem with students, it just really gets them thinking. They feel like they're standing there at the patient's bedside, really looking at the IV and setting that IV. So any connections we can help them to make. Here's an example. There's a couple slides here on an intake activity that was created for the students. Created this semester, we did this in person in the spring, but with the switch to online, this was a great time to use Desmos. This was an activity that our nursing instructors used as a clinical day for our students. So we've partnered with our nursing faculty to create some of these activities for them. Lots of different ways, you know, we can use the information here. We can show a picture, we can really teach new content using Desmos. So everything doesn't have to be a question that the students are solving. We can provide that information to the students, use it kind of as a learning tool, and then make it interactive as they go along. So here they would determine which of these items they would count as intake and give the amount in milliliters in the chart there. So you can create activities that are going to walk the student through learning some of the content as well as then interacting with the content and doing the calculation. So lots of different options within Desmos here. From the faculty perspective of Desmos, lots of great information that you can gather from the tool itself. So here's just a screenshot of an activity that was done with students where you can see where students are with that activity. So we can see, you know, where the dots are there. Students have entered their answers there. So some students, you know, logged in, but they didn't really do anything. Some students are stuck back on slide three. Some have gotten up to slide six, right? And some have completed the activity. So if you're doing this asynchronously, you can see even, you know, where students maybe get stuck with an activity. If you're doing it synchronously, you can address that on the spot. There's also a way to give feedback within Desmos as students are working on the activity. So you can really interact with them there. Here's a screenshot from an activity where you can just see all of their responses to, this was a syringe question. Same would be true for the one where they fill in the medicine cup. So you can really see all of their answers kind of all at once. You can also highlight some of those questions if you're doing this in a live class. You can highlight somebody's solutions by using the snapshot and sharing that out. So that you can share that with everyone.
Great. So we do want to give you the opportunity too. So if you have an opportunity to look at our slides that we have shared, there are three examples here that we've created that you can go in from the student perspective. So these are three dosage. The first one is just the showcase activity, what we just walked you through. And then we have two specific ones, the IV push Desmos activity and the safe dosage Desmos activity that we've created and utilized with our students. Again, so you can see what they experience. We're not going to be able to, in this short period of time, be able to get into all the ins and outs of Desmos. I saw there were some really good opportunities today and in the last couple of weeks where other presenters have talked about Desmos. It's a great the activity builder is a great tool. And so we're just starting to kind of touch the surface and get a little bit deeper on what it can do. And I also want to thank Beth Kelch, who's helped create these as well. I don't know if Beth is here today, but she has helped create and as part of the task force, we've created some of these activities some of those slides came from activities that Beth has used as well. We're going to end here in a moment. I just wanted to give you again, if you have the opportunity to access our slides, the task force that is trying to take this information and get as many math educators, stat educators, nurse educators together to kind of address some of these quantitative issues that we see with within nursing programs. And so within the last 2 years, we've had two webinars, and the links to these that are provided here in our presentation go to the recording of those webinars. The first one you can see is actually both of these actually trespass on the same content that we've been talking about today and maybe going a little bit deeper. And so what we invite you to do is to certainly access these recordings, reach out to us if you have questions. We want to collaborate with you and others to develop some more of these activities for our students, again, to connect that calculation to practice and utilizing those tools on dosage math, putting them into a Desmos activity or into a discussion board. How can we utilize those tools to get students to go a little bit deeper than just calculating some rote calculation and saying that's their answer? Questions?
No questions so far, but I'm going to give everyone maybe 30 seconds to type one in.
And I see Joan put in. Thank you, Joan. Joan is also one of the co-chairs of this national task force from the Charles A. Dana Center, put a link to the website. And so if you're interested, the link there will take you to our website, and there's going to be a sign-up form if you're interested in getting our newsletter and kind of collaborating. We're trying to build as many partnerships as possible to really improve the quantitative education of our students.
All right, well, quiet group today, but thank you so much, Daniel and Lindsay. You shared many great ideas. Oh, look, one actually came in. Do you have a course specifically for nurses?
We teach a course called Clinical Mathematics for the Health Sciences. So it certainly has a strong dosage component. It's not just for nursing students. We do have some of our surgical technology students and some other programs as well. But certainly I would say that, 75% of the material is focused on dosage calculations and reasoning in clinical situations.
All right, thank you. And I added in a link to the, still going. Does it fill their college math requirement?
Yes.
It's a 3-credit course, yep.
And that's actually something that we've learned in this initiative, that there is no consensus across what mathematics course a nursing student should take. So there are some programs that require college algebra. There are those that require quantitative reasoning. Some just get their dosage from their nursing educators in their nursing courses. And so that's one of the things that as a task force, we are trying to build some consensus on, what is the best path for nursing students to get those skills and competencies for safe practice.
So there's a question about, do they need to take college algebra? So they do not. Our ASN students do not. They just take the clinical math course. Our BSN students were taking college algebra. They are now taking the clinical math course, and then they'll take statistics as well.
And the clinical math course does have some algebra concepts in it. So we do cover a little bit of exponential modeling. We do have a little bit on the normal distribution with statistics. So it's not just a dosage course, but certainly the decent amount of material is focused on dosage calculations.
What is the prerequisite for the class?
There's actually no prerequisite other than if they've had to have algebra in the past. So if they've had an algebra course in the past, either up to algebra 2, then that's pretty much their prerequisite. And we encourage students to take a quantitative reasoning course first if they're a little rusty, but there is no specific prerequisite in a college level math course.
Okay, I think that's it. Thanks again, Daniel and Lindsay. I've added a link to the conference app so everyone can see where they can go next. And I guess have a great rest of your day at the conference. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you again, everybody.